From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
But it's War of Will coming down to the 16th pole in front. In front by 2 lengths late. A late charge from Longshot Everfast to the inside two, but nothing stood in his way. War of Will won the Preakness.
Bricks and Mortar bumps with March to the Arch, nonetheless closing in with 2.5 lengths to make up and a 16th to go. It's Curbon in front, Clyde's Image. Bricks and Mortar finding stride late in the game, and Bricks and Mortar's up in time.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Tacitus is closing through an opening down toward the rail, into the final 16th. It is Tex in front. Tacitus on the inside is second. He's trying to come and get Tex. The Ortiz brothers, Tex on the outside. Tacitus at the rail, and it is Tex and around Ortiz in the Jim Dandy.
And Vino Rosso edging away from Gift Box. He's coming into his own. And Vino Rosso at age 4 goes on to win the Gold Cup at Santa Anita.
Now, here's Mike Pena.
Hello again, everyone. Good morning. Rise and shine, HRN Nation. The Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence, is on the air. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, coming to you once again from our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios right here in the heart of the Bluegrass, Lexington, Kentucky, and very happy to have you with me over the course of the next couple of hours as we continue to count down to the Breeders' Cup World Championships being held at Santa Anita November 1st and 2nd, 41 days, 3 hours, and now just 35 minutes away from those World Championships. Of course, we will be there as your exclusive radio home for the Breeders' Cup. More than 15 hours of on-site Breeders' Cup programming here on the network, live from Santa Anita Park in Arcadia, California. All you have to do is head over to our website, horseracingradio.net, to check out a complete road to the Breeders' Cup schedule and that full Breeders' Cup week programming. It's going to be huge. Can't wait to get out there. And even though you only have one win and you're in scheduled for today, the Cotillion at Parks, which is part of a huge program that includes the Pennsylvania Derby. Both the Cotillion and the Pennsylvania Derby are grade one races, of course. Even though you only have that one, there are the Pennsylvania Derby, for example. There are plenty of other races that are not win and you're ins that are going to have an impact on divisions in the Breeders' Cup. Could be the Breeders' Cup Classic. The Breeders' Cup Classic. Look, we've talked about it all year long. How strong is this older horse division? Doesn't appear to be one of those years that you say, okay, this is a really good group of older horses. There's some good ones. Preservationist, McKenzie, right there at the top of the list. In terms of the older dirt horses pointing for the Breeders' Cup Classic. Bricks and Mortar, obviously spectacular, but not going to see him in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Well, Parks has a multitude of stakes races on this program later today, highlighted by the Grade 1 Pennsylvania Derby and the Grade 1 Cotillion. Jim Gluckson is going to be with me later in the program, right around 8:35 Eastern Time. Jim is with Breeders' Cup. He'll talk about those two races, the Cotillion and the Pennsylvania Derby. He'll share his thoughts, and he's going to look back on what's happened with the European road to the Breeders' Cup over the past few weeks. There have been several top performances across the pond, and Jim's going to help me with that. He'll take a look back and share his thoughts, kind of catch you up on what's happening over there, because a lot of those horses will make their way to Santa Anita in November, and we want to keep you up to date on what's happening and what you can expect when those horses arrive and who you should keep an eye on. In terms of the Cotillion today, the win and you're in, 11 3-year-old fillies, including last year's juvenile champion filly Jaywalk. The morning line favorite, though, is the undefeated filly Guarana from the barn of trainer Chad Brown, 9-5 on the morning line. Second choice, the Kentucky Oaks heroine, Serengeti Empress, for trainer Tom Amos, who is 3-1. Those two will get a rematch. You remember, it was two starts back that Guarana defeated Serengeti Empress at Belmont Park. They'll get a rematch today. That was in the Grade 1 Acorn. Serengeti Empress was on the lead, battling on the lead, 21 and 4, 43 and 4 for the half, 108 for 6 furlongs, sizzling pace. She held on gamely to be second, but Guarana took advantage of that pace. She was in the catbird seat sitting third that day. She pounced. She won by 6. Could be a whole different scenario coming up in the Cotillion later this afternoon. And again, Jim Gluckson going to be with me. The Pennsylvania Derby, I mentioned the wide-open Breeders' Cup Classic division, the older horse division. The Pennsylvania Derby could play into that. Now down to just 6 horses following the huge scratch of Maximum Security earlier this week, which has left the Bob Baffert-trained Improbable as the 8-5 morning line favorite. Now, Bob Baffert has been as good, well, in a lot of races, but in the Pennsylvania Derby, as any trainer in history. He is tied with Hall of Famer Nick Zito and Hall of Famer Woody Stevens for most wins in the race. He's won it 3 times. He'll be seeking a 4th win in the Pennsylvania Derby with Improbable later today. Earlier in the week, I had a chance to talk with Bob, and I asked him his thoughts on not just Improbable, but on the entire field, and it was interesting. I don't think Bob necessarily feels like Improbable should be the morning line favorite. There's another horse in there that he thinks is the horse to beat, the horse he has to beat with Improbable, and you're going to hear Bob coming up later in the show, and you'll hear his thoughts on the Pennsylvania Derby. At Laurel Park today, 8 stakes races worth $1.3 million. Sal Sinatra, the president and general manager of the Maryland Jockey Club, is going to join me after our first commercial break right about 8:15 Eastern time. You have the $250,000 Frank J. DeFrancis Memorial Dash, which is a grade 3, the 5-2 morning line favorite, New York Central for Steve Asmussen. And then you had the Baltimore-Washington International Turf Cup, also a grade 3. And this one's interesting. It's a solid field. The 3-1 morning line favorite is an 8-year-old gelding, Glorious Empire. And forget about the fact that we're talking about an 8-year-old gelding is your morning line favorite. The part that I find intriguing is that Glorious Empire is making his 2019 debut in this afternoon's Baltimore-Washington International Turf Cup. Yeah, should be a lot of fun, and Sal will fill us in on everything happening at Laurel. Tonight at Charlestown, if you want more action, tune in to Charlestown, the 11th renewal of the Race for the Ribbon program, 12-race program. The stakes races are highlighted by the Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks. Several stakes races on the program. Fashion Faux Pas, a lukewarm 7-2 favorite among a field of 10 fillies. Parisian Diva, the only filly in that field to have won a race at Charlestown. As a matter of fact, the only filly in the race to have ever competed at Charlestown, Parisian Diva. 10 starts, 7 wins, 2 seconds, and a third. You want a horse for course? There's your horse for course, and Parisian Diva going to be a big price in tonight's Charlestown Oaks. Eric Zimney, the Vice President of Racing and Sports Operations at Charlestown, is going to be with me to talk about those races toward the end of the program. Said he wants to be the Mariano Rivera of today's show and close it out, so we're going to have him on right around 9:40 Eastern time. And kind of in between all of this talk of all the big stakes races today, we're going to be joined by Yuriko Rosa da Silva, the jockey who has won 2,201 races in his career. That number will be higher by the end of the year when he decides to hang it up and officially retire. He announced earlier this week that he would be retiring. Actually, it was last week that he would be retiring after this season. Yuriko Rosa da Silva has been awarded 6 Sovereign Awards as Canada's leading jockey, including each of the past 4 years. He is as good as it gets in the saddle. And he'll join us to look back on his career. He'll join us to look back on the big win with El Tormenta in the Rico Woodbine Mile last Saturday at Woodbine. He'll be with me at 9 o'clock Eastern time. So here's the schedule for this morning. Sal Sinatra, Maryland Jockey Club, coming up at 8:15. Jim Gluckson from the Breeders' Cup at 8:35 Eastern. Yuriko da Silva, 9 o'clock. You'll hear from Bob Baffert right around 9:20 Eastern. And Eric Zimney from Charlestown, 9:40 Eastern time. And with all of that said, now that the show is set up, I get to welcome in a special guest co-host for the next 2 hours, who is my good friend Mark Otto from Red Brand Fence. He has been traveling all night, so forgive him if he falls asleep halfway through the show. It's not me. I know that, Mark. I know it's not me if he goes off.
It would never be you. No.
How are you? But I like the Red Brand shirt. It looks good.
Yeah.
The Triple Crown, Bob Baffert logo on one side, Red Brand on the other.
Old friends on the sleeve. We got everybody covered. The entire Red Brand family is represented.
Wait a minute. You do some NASCAR sponsorship, too. And I know you're involved on the NASCAR side of things. You're starting to look like a NASCAR driver.
I know. Well, they are the kings of marketing. I mean, we could actually learn a lot from those guys. And, you know, I mention that all the time that, you know, I'm really impressed with, you know, the way that they run their sport. I think there is a lot to learn from them.
Yeah.
Interestingly.
I've said that for a long time. And, you know, golf does a good job, too.
Golf does an excellent job. And, in fact, I have some friends that work for PGA. A friend of ours, Brian Pettigrew, former Breeders' Cup. You know, John Handley, you know, a friend of Nancy, a relative of Nancy's. He's with PGA out of New York. So, yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. PGA, you know, there's a lot that could be gathered from a lot of other sports. And, you know, not to get too high on the soapbox, but I think at a time when racing could use a little help in coming together rather than turning on each other.
100%. I've said that multiple times on this show that years ago I had the chance to attend a Sunday at the Masters. And you want to talk about an event that markets itself and treats people the right way when they walk through their door? It's Augusta National.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been myself, and it's an experience. I mean, you never forget going. I still have a little green chair in my office, and
around the 18th green.
Exactly, the little sandwiches, and you know, the sad thing is, it
Pimento
really
cheese.
Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter where you are. Yeah. You could be in the middle of a fairway, and it's still a really great experience. And you know, that's another thing. Not to tout it, and it's kind of funny because I'm not as huge of a NASCAR fan as people would think. I'm just, you kind of have to respect what they do business wise.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I'm really impressed with is that whether you spent $30 on your ticket, if there is such a thing, or $5,000 for a suite, you still feel, you know, like you're part of it. They do a really good job of making people feel like they're part of the sport.
Yeah. Yeah, they certainly do. And look, there are events in racing that do things pretty well too, but there's a lot that you can learn when you go to these other events. And you know, if you just check your ego at the door when you walk in and say, look, I'm open-minded, I want to see what this event has to offer. There are events like the Masters, like different NASCAR events, and you know, a lot of PGA Tour events too, that you can say, all right, they treat you the right way, and we could take a piece of that, maybe not the whole experience because we're a whole different sport, but take a piece of that, incorporated into what they do on the racing side too.
I absolutely agree. And from somebody who came from outside the sport, I think there's a lot more in common than people think.
Yeah.
I think there's always this feeling that, oh, you know, we're not the same. You know, if you really take a step back, like you say, check the ego and really look at it objectively, you know, you could swap a horse for a car pretty easy.
Yeah.
I will say
a lot less penalties called in horse racing than in the NFL nowadays.
Absolutely.
Too, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. Yeah. Haven't seen a horse take a knee.
Right. So. That's true, too. All right. Well, listen, here's what we got to do. We got to get to our first commercial break. Again, busy program. It kicks off with Sal Sinatra from the Maryland Jockey Club talking about their huge afternoon of racing. He's next on the Equine Forum on HRN. It's all presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Tenda Equine and Pet Care products have been keeping world-class equine athletes happy and healthy for generations. Keep your equine athlete looking and performing well with Tenda Next Generation Wound and Skin Care Treatment. Along with nutritional supplements, leg and muscle care products, salves, hoof care, poultice, topical aids, and grooming products. Visit TendaHorse.com today.
racing fans, World Class Racing returns to Santa Anita with opening day of our 23-day autumn meet next Friday, September 27th. For the first time ever on opening day, we've got a pair of Grade 1 stakes, the $300,000 Chandelier and the $300,000 American Pharoah. Both of these highly anticipated Breeders' Cup qualifiers will be run in conjunction with our traditional opening day feature on Friday, the Grade 2 $200,000 Eddie D Stakes. First post time opening weekend is at 12:30, Santa Anita. Great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Brody's Cause, a Grade 1 winner at 2 and 3 by Giants Causeway.
Brody's Cause and Corey Lannery, a tremendous run from deep in the pack to pull the upset in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity.
His final time of 143.27 in Keeneland's Grade 1 Breeders' Futurity is the fastest running on dirt since 2000, while defeating Grade 1 winner, Exaggerator. Look for his first crop yearling selling this summer. Brody's Cause, standing at Spendthrift.
This is Elliot Walden, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
As they round the far turn, Spitesford, three-quarters of a length. He, Hate Me, circling up on the outside. Second, Mr. Dougie Fresh, third toward the inside. Behind them, Engage, Honorable Treasure, and Ball Raison on the far outside. It is wide open with a furlong to run. He, Hate Me, to the front at the eighth pole, and now starting to pull away. Mr. Dougie Fresh gives way on the inside, then Engage. Ball Raison closing in the middle. They're coming down to the wire, and it's He, Hate Me, who won it by three over Ball Raison. And that was Mr. Dougie Fresh and Engage.
Larry Colmus bringing them home. He, Hate Me, with that allowance win at the Spa on July 19th. Race number 8 that day, and He, Hate Me is a graduate of our good friend Stuart Morris and his program. You'll hear the Star of the Week coming up later in the show, which is presented by Stuart. But now we turn our attention to our good friend Sal Sinatra, who is going to talk about those big races. He, Hate Me, by the way, going in this afternoon's Grade 3 Frank J. DeFrancis Memorial Dash, and 6 furlongs on the main track. That is a contentious race. I touched on it at the top of the show. It pairs with another Grade 3, the Baltimore-Washington International Turf Cup, and should be a phenomenal day of racing with several stakes races on the program. 8 in total, $1.3 million in purses, and Sal Sinatra is with us now here on HRRN. Sal, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Things are good. How about yourself?
Beautiful, crisp day here. It's going to be a great day of racing.
Yeah, well, 8 stakes races, $1.3 million in purses. What more could you ask for?
Yeah, as long as we kept the sun, we're in good shape. The turf's in great condition, and we haven't been on lanes 1 and 4 for a few weeks, so it's almost perfect for the guys.
I have to tell you, before we get to talking about the races, and we will, and what people can expect when they either tune in to Laurel later today or they make their way out to the track, I had the first chance of my entire racing career to visit Laurel last year when we came up to broadcast the Maryland Million. We'll be back again next month in October to do that again. And Sal, what you guys have done with that racetrack, you, and when I say you, I mean you and the Stronach group and the entire Maryland Jockey Club, just tremendous. Great job.
Thank you very much. Yeah, when Tim Ripa and I came, we kind of sparked a little life into the place and brought some interior designers from Blinda's crew, and they've really done a nice job. It's, you know, got a little pep in everybody's step around here, and we get good crowds, a lot of people coming back, and a lot of families, which is nice.
He is Sal Sinatra, the Maryland Jockey Club president and general manager. Of course, I'm Mike Penna, special guest co-host. In studio with me this morning is our friend Mark Otto from Red Brand Fence.
Hey, Sal, how are you doing?
I'm good.
You guys have a great weekend coming up.
Yeah, and you know, it's a great weekend for the Mid-Atlantic. You know, so this card a little bit, when you look at it, we tried to put those bigger races kind of in the middle of the card, and you know, insert a couple of stakes in between parts of the races before the Charlestown races in the evening. So if you're out on the East Coast, there's a lot of good racing this weekend.
You hear a lot of talk about Laurel. I mean, you guys are doing a great job. I was out there a few years ago. I haven't been back recently, and I need to get back out there. But everybody I talk to really speaks highly of what you guys are doing. It's really becoming
a
destination.
That's good to hear. I mean, we, you know, Maryland was in tough times when they were the last in the region to get slots. And, you know, we're trying to bring everybody back, you know, some quality and get the crowds and stuff back that they used to have way back in the day.
Yeah. We got to get a red brand race going out there.
Hey, you got that on tape now, Sal. I'll send it to you. You can have a copy of this. You got him on tape saying that. Hey, so what's a day like this mean to the Maryland horse racing industry?
Well, this is really good for us because, you know, most of these stakes are about $100,000. We have some local interest. Like I said, Maryland, in general, we get generally decent crowds on Saturday. This will bring them out. Obviously, there'll be you know, some TVs on to watch some of the good races up at Parks. But they're really anxious, and they're, you know, been very happy that we ran in summertime. You know, for a while there, Laurel hadn't run when Colony was running prior to opening back up this year. And it's just trying to get the families out here and realize the racetrack's a cool place to hang out. You know, you can just enjoy yourself. You can get close to the animals, and we can bring you some first-class racing. And it helps when we have Fair Hill not too far off with some nice horses.
Yeah, great training facility. Again, when I was there for the Preakness this year, had a chance to visit Fair Hill for the first time. And you talk about horse heaven, that might be it.
Yeah, our guys, you know, they're a little bashful when these horses come here, especially from the maiden races and stuff, because there's some top-notch horses down there. And, you know, Graham is very loyal to us. He likes one kind of his backyard, even though it's, you know, an hour plus away. But he's always been very complimentary. And, you know, we have other farms, you know, like Michael Dickinson's farm on the Eastern Shore and stuff. So we do have a lot of turf trainers in the area. And it does help, they, you know, having this giant turf course to, you know, cater to them and get some guys from New York down here and mix it up a bit.
Well, Sal, these two races, the Frank J. DeFrancis Memorial Dash and the Baltimore-Washington International Turf Cup, not only are they grade threes now, but they have tremendous history, too.
Yeah, and like I said, well, prior to getting slots, you know, Maryland Racing kind of had to disband their stakes program a bit. And they kind of lost their luster. And, you know, I always preach down here, like, you know, those races were grade one races back in their day. And to get them back to that, it's going to be a long haul. But we're up for it. We're trying to beef up the cards underneath them and get people back into that. If you'll notice, like, even the Laurel Futurity and the Salima, they've been at all distances, you know, from being long in the dirt all the way back to short. We're trying to get them back to their notoriety, I mean, particularly the Laurel Futurity, when horses like Secretariat and Affirmed and those won it. It has some real rich history, and those races are really important to us.
Yeah, the 93rd running of the Futurity later this afternoon for the two-year-old boys, the 90th running of the Salima for the two-year-old fillies, steeped in history. You know, Sal, I had the chance earlier this week on our trainer talk show, which airs on Wednesday nights. It's presented by our friends at Fasig Tipton. Had a chance to visit with Hank Allen, who is a Maryland horseman now. He is a former Major League Baseball player. His brother, Dickie Allen, is close to getting into the Hall of Fame. They're hoping maybe this is the year that Dickie Allen gets into the Hall of Fame. But I had a chance to talk to him, and it was ironic because he's the guy who trained the very first winner of the DeFrancis Memorial Dash, Northern Wolf, all those years ago.
Wow. Well, he'll be happy to know we'll have another baseball player here. Mike Napoli's horse is running today, too, and he's bringing his group from Florida up. So it's going to be a big baseball day here at Laurel Park.
So what else can people look forward to on this program today? We touched on the stakes races. What other things are happening there, Sal?
We got a pretty busy day. We actually have our big one handicapping tournament up on the second floor in the sports bar. We have Reds on the Rail, a little wine tasting down out front, and just the world-class racing, and like I said, a good crowd of people. It's going to be a hopping joint, and we're really looking forward to today.
Yeah, wait a minute. Back to the wine tasting for a minute. Can we bring that back on Maryland Million Day?
I'm sure we can. We can try. We've been. we have a new marketing director, Tony Ann, and she's been trying to pair up alcohol with every one of the big days. So I'm sure she's got something in store for Maryland Million.
How do you, Sal, I've always wondered this. When you bring people out, and people will come out for those different events. We've seen it over the years with horse racing, even with concerts, for example. They come out, they enjoy it. How do you take those people and get them either, A, interested in horse racing, or a step further, interested in betting a horse race?
Well, generally what we try to do is anybody who comes into those events, obviously there's no admission and parking, but we make sure they have a program. Sometimes we'll give them a voucher. I also try and partner with some of the wineries and name some of the races for them to do a presentation, because I always feel if they bring a wind picture back to their winery, people will notice the connection.
Oh, yeah.
I think what's really helped is the decor here. If you do a wine thing, it used to be the day, everybody at the track's got a visor and a cigar and their, fat language yelling at the TVs, and that's not the way it is anymore. I'm trying to bring it up a notch and try and get the ladies here. It's great to see them dressed up, and we put the ice cream stands out for the kids and the face painting, and we'll have the pumpkin painting and stuff. So it's a really cheap date for local people, and I do find a lot of them coming out for a couple of hours just to stroll through the track, see the horses with their kids, and when they're tired they go home. But over time, that's how we're fortunate. Prior to this meet, we have Timonium, and they're close to the horses up there. And in Maryland, it's a big thing. We try and I was at the Frederick Fair yesterday for a commission meeting. I mean, every student in Frederick has a class trip that week to the fair, and they watch the harness horses, down there. So it's rich in heritage in the state. The horse is beloved, and it really helps us in our marketing.
I think that's a really good point, Sal. With the kids, Maryland racing goes back to early 1700s. I really think that's a key point, is tying into our history and getting people, kind of reminding people where we started and that it is really part of the fabric of the state. And that really is no truer anywhere than it is where you guys are.
And that's nice.
Yeah, it really is. Because, I really think that's one of the things, I think you guys are doing a great job of that, because that's one of the things you see in a lot of other sports, like Mike and I were talking earlier, people get connected to sports by going with their parents or going with an uncle or going with their granddad. And, I think the more that we can expose them at a younger age or, connect it to the state's history or connect it to the history in a local history, I think the more you're going to build lifetime fans.
Oh, definitely. We all make fun of the infield at Preakness. But as those college kids go out there and have a good time, they not even remember who won the race. But you know what? Pimlico's in their heart because they had a great time there.
Absolutely.
It's a life-changing experience for some of them. And, that's one of the reasons they want to keep it up there.
And the interesting thing is you go back, the one that comes to mind is Funnyside. You go back to guys that started out in college, and later on they become owners like Jack.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
It's a great sport. If you're a sports fan, it's the one thing you can get involved in as an owner. And, we can't just, become an owner of a baseball team or get close to players.
Mike could, but the rest of us can't.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what kind of team I get involved with, but it certainly wouldn't be the Pittsburgh Steelers or something like that.
No.
But anyway, Sal, listen, it's been a lot of fun to catch up, and you're right. Things are going in the right direction there in Maryland. You're doing things the right way at Laurel. And can't wait to see you again when I get up there next month for the Maryland Million.
Well, we'll certainly have to show you a good time. I'm expecting that card to be awesome as well. So look forward to seeing you.
All right, Sal Sinatra, like all of our guests who appear on the program, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Don't forget that you can wear what you love and embrace your passion by going to embracetherace.com. Jim Gluckson from Breeders' Cup is going to join us on the other side of this commercial break. But first, it's time for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty, right here in Lexington, Kentucky.
This is the story of a man who was active as a thoroughbred owner for 65 years and whose name became synonymous with the American turf. Among the horses he owned and or bred were Swarthmore, Passmore, Seabird, Yankee Witch, Big Blaze, American Flag, Maid at Arms, Crusader, Friar's Case, War Hero, War Glory, War Admiral, War Relic, Thumbs Up, War Trophy, Rampart, and the horse that in many quarters is considered the mostest horse that ever was, Man of War. This man was born on July 1st, 1861 in Glenriddle, Scotland, the son of a textile merchant who founded that town. Robert Burns, the well-noted Scotch poet, was at one time the family librarian. Our man was educated at one of this nation's finest small colleges, Swarthmore in suburban Philadelphia. At 21, he followed in his father's footsteps and entered the textile business. He developed an early interest in hunters and hounds, and then steeplechasers, and finally, flat racing. His first horse of note was Swarthmore, named after his alma mater. This one was out of a mare bred by President Ulysses S. Grant. During the 1890s, he had a couple of decent stakes horses in Passmore and Seabird, both of whom were successful at the old Gloucester track in New Jersey. The first horse to wear the famous silks of his stable, black, yellow sash, yellow hoops on sleeves, was Yankee Witch, a daughter of Ogden, who was purchased as a two-year-old from John E. Madden in 1916. That one won the Rosedale Stakes in American record time until then, 101 and 2 for 5 furlongs. She also won the Spinaway Stakes, and in 19, Louis Feustel, his trainer at the time, admired a tall, gangly son of Fair Play at the Saratoga Sale. The man who's the subject of this dissertation was not impressed, but he agreed to buy the horse on the condition he be made a jumper if not successful on the racetrack. A price of $5,000, seven highest of the sale, was paid for the yearling, who had already been named Man o' War. In 1918, this man purchased two more yearlings of note, Big Blaze and Whetstone. Big Blaze was the son of Campfire, costing $1,800, and went on to win the Grand Union Hotel, Interboro, Champlain, and Washington handicaps. In the Interboro, he whipped the Great Zeb in American record time for 1/116 miles, 144 and 4. Whetstone was a filly bred by Colonel Phil Chin and cost $3,100. She won the Brookdale in the ladies' handicap and defeated Preakness winner Nellie Morse. Later, she became the Dam of War hero. When Man o' War retired to stud, his first crop of foals produced American Flag, who won the Belmont, Dwyer, and Withers Stakes. From Man o' War's second crop came Crusader and Taps. Crusader won the Belmont, Dwyer, Riggs, Huron, Jockey Club Gold Cup, Havre de Grace, Maryland, and Suburban Handicaps. Taps was the best two-year-old filly of her year and won the Matron. The next major horse he owned was War Hero, who in 1932 won the Travers, the Huron, and the Saratoga Cup. The best horse ever bred by this man was War Admiral, a multiple stakes winner, and the last outstanding horse to race in his black and yellow silks was War Relic, who was sired by Man o' War. War Relic won the Massachusetts Handicap, Narragansett Governor's Handicap, and the Narragansett Special. A horseman and a sportsman to the very quick, he often disregarded his own best wishes, and he recognized that his ownership of Man o' War was not mere possession, but was indeed a part of public legacy, sort of like owning the Sphinx or the Taj Mahal or the Pyramid. So until Man o' War became quite ill, the gates of Faraway Farm, where Man o' War was housed, were always open to a constant stream of visitors. He met the Dark Horseman as an octogenarian at the age of 89 in 1951, and no finer compliment could be paid him than that he was worthy and well-deserving of owning Man o' War, the mostest horse that ever was. That man was Glenn Riddle. Farm was Mr. Sam B. Riddle.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Penna, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Bloom Racing. Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Pulling away from Come Dancing, Mopetism, and the others,
Midnight Bizou leaves no doubt today. She won the Phipps in hand.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races on Saturday, September 21st for the 11th annual Race for the Ribbon. Another stellar card in store. Eight stakes races worth over $700,000 and headlined by the Grade 3 $300,000 Charlestown Oaks. And proceeds from the evening will go towards the fight against breast cancer here in West Virginia. The action kicks off with a special first post time of 5 p.m. Eastern. It's the Race for the Ribbon and the Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
Hello, this is Steve Cawthon, thoroughbred jockey, winner of the Triple Crown 1978 Aboard Affirmed, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Top of the lane now in the big one, and Bayern goes for home. Toast of New York, California Chrome on the grandstand side. Bayern digs in at the rail. Toast of New York stretching him every yard of the way. California Chrome, what a memorable Breeders' Cup Classic. It's a race for the ages. Bayern, Toast of New York, California Chrome. Bayern, Toast of New York. Bayern has won it. Bayern got there by a head under Martin Garcia over Toast of New York. California Chrome ran his heart out, but had to settle for a close third.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, special guest co-host sitting in with me in our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios. That is Mark Otto from Red Brand Fence. And that was Trevor Denman with the call of the 2014 running of the Breeders' Cup Classic. And what a classic it was. Bayern getting the victory for Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert. If you recall, Bayern competed in the Pennsylvania Derby and won that race earlier in his 2014 campaign. He is one of three winners in the Pennsylvania Derby for Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert, who you will hear from in the second half of the show. But now we turn our attention to our good friend Jim Gluckson from the Breeders' Cup as we get set to continue down that road to early November. And Jim, good morning, my friend. Happy to have you with me.
Thank you. Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Mark. Thank you for having me today. I'm interested that Bayern began a streak of three Breeders' Cup Classics for Bob Baffert that year with American Pharoah and then Arrowgate in 2016. So that was quite a year and quite a beginning.
Yeah, it was spectacular. And Bob is back, as I mentioned, in the Pennsylvania Derby. You have the win and you're in Cotillion Stakes at Parks later today, too. That's a grade one. 11 3-year-old fillies, including last year's juvenile champion filly, Jaywalk, set to go. But, Jimmy, all eyes are going to be on the undefeated filly, Guarana, from the barn of Chad Brown.
Well, absolutely. I mean, going from a maiden here to two group ones, or two grade ones, extraordinary performance for the Chad Brown filly in this race. Guarana was terrific in the coaching club. And, I mean, previous to that in the Acorn, a six-length winner, I think it's tremendous and tough to beat in here. A very interesting race. I just wanted just to mention, of course, that this race will be televised on NBC at 5 p.m. Today as a part of the Breeders' Cup Challenge Winning Your In Series presented by America's Best Racing. And with this race, begins a countdown of 32 Breeders' Cup Challenge races remaining in the 86 race schedule. We go all the way through the J.P. Morgan Chase Jessamine at Keeneland on October 9th. So this is quite a run. Talking first about this race, we already have three horses that have qualified through the Breeders' Cup Challenge series, those being Elate, who won the Fleur de Lis, Midnight Bisou, who won the Ogden Phipps back in June, and Ali's Candy, who won the Clement Hirsch at Del Mar. Those three are in. We still have the Zenyatta to go next week at Santa Anita and concluding at Keeneland on the first weekend with the Judmont Spinster. So just to get a few of the background items there about the series and about the race. So just, yes, just getting back to it, I think Guernar is very tough in here to begin with. I would also say that you have a filly like Serengeti Empress, who lost nothing in defeat in that test stakes against Confetti. That was just a tremendous effort, and a Kentucky Oaks winner. And a horse, a filly I also like in here named Street Band, who probably is going to be a price, who ran well in the Alabama and previous to that won the Indiana Oaks.
Yeah, Jamie, I'm glad you bring up two other names, the older mares, if you will, Midnight Bisou and Elate, who put on that tremendous show at Saratoga. And, you know, looking ahead to what could be a potential rematch in the Breeders' Cup Distaff, and then throw in a couple of the three-year-old fillies we're talking about here with Guarana and Serengeti Empress and Street Band, you have the makings for what will be a classic running in the Distaff. And that rematch with Elate and Midnight Bisou, I think everybody on pins and needles hoping that comes to fruition.
That's exactly why we have a Breeders' Cup. So at the end of the year, we can decide champions in these divisions. So I think it's a highly anticipated event and that we are all looking forward to very much.
How about the Pennsylvania Derby, Jimmy? I touched on this at the top of the show, that older horse division, yeah, you have Preservationist, you have McKinsey. They're talented. They're good on their day. Preservationist was sensational last time. Do you see somebody coming out of this Pennsylvania Derby that could have an impact in that Breeders' Cup Classic?
I think a name that, well, obviously we have Improbable coming back. I think that's a very interesting development. Here's a horse that was the favorite in both the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness and did not run well in either and then came back with the aid of Blinkers to win his last time out. I think that after a long time away, that's an interesting development there, as far as I would say in that respect. I would also say Mr. Money is a horse that certainly bears watching here. Although, I mean, we've reeling off four grade three wins, being the Pat Day, the Matt Wynn, the Indiana Derby, and the West Virginia Derby, that one by six lengths. I still think that that's an interesting horse as far as elite late season developer for Brett Calhoun to consider.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Should be a lot of fun today. That's the Pennsylvania Derby and the Cotillion, both grade ones, excuse me, both at Parks. And we're visiting with Jim Gluckson from the Breeders' Cup. Jimmy, one thing I wanted to make sure we did while I had you on was to kind of get a sense of what we're seeing across the pond with some of the European win-in-your-in races. There have been several over the past few weeks. So catch us up on who's looked good, who we should keep an eye on as we make our way closer to Santa Anita.
Well, let's start with Magical right away, Mike. She was quite good in winning the Irish Champion Stakes last week at Leopardstown. As we know, she's had to chase Enable all the way back to the Breeders' Cup, the Longines Breeders' Cup turf last year at Churchill Downs. And she ran a great second to her at the Coral Eclipse at Sandown. She was then second in between and next to Crystal Ocean at Royal Ascot in the Prince of Wales Stakes, and then again ran second to Enable in the Darley Yorkshire Oaks. So to come in there and win at the Irish Champion Stakes was a well-deserved victory. I think we can expect her to come over for the Longines Breeders' Cup turf and try to win it after running so well behind Enable last year. I would like to just, if I can just jump back, speaking of Europeans,
yeah,
there's a horse that ran very well in the turf division last week for Charlie Appleby's Old Persian, won the Northern Dancer up at Woodbine. And if he's able to come back, I think they're going to come back for the international at Woodbine. If and if he's able to stay I think the mile and a half will be no problem for Old Persian, who also won the Dubai Shima Classic earlier this year. As far as two top European runners for the turf that we're looking at, I think also very deep is the Maker's Mark Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare turf, where we have winners here. We have a winning year in horse filly last week in the Coolmore Fastnet Rock Matron Stakes at Leopardstown. The Erie Dessa came in and won that race very impressively. Also from Japan, we have Deirdre, who won the Nassau Stakes at Goodwood, as another one. One who came over from Europe for Alain Royer Dupre and the Aga Khan, Alain Royer Dupre, who won the very first Breeders' Cup turf with Lashkari in 1984, has a nice filly in Ediza, who won the Jockey Club Oaks at Belmont Park when Belmont opened at the first weekend in September. Also, for John Gosden, we have Star Catcher, who won the Prix Verme on the big ARC preview weekend at Paris-Longchamp on the last weekend. So those are four very nice females that were looking from Europe to participate in the Breeders' Cup, the Maker's Mark Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf.
So, Jim, this Mark, in coming up, you know, you guys have a huge weekend at Newmarket coming up and then on to Paris. Do you see any surprises? Do you see any upsets coming that is going to change the face of the turf races coming over?
I can't really say as far as something to look there as far as specific surprises from those races. I think there's always somebody that will emerge, especially from Coolmore, from those races. I would look forward to that taking place. I can just mention a few other names of horses that were looking to come over significantly from Europe. One would be Lord Glitters, who won the Queen Anne Stakes for the Breeders' Cup Mile. And I mentioned that the Mile and also the Filly and Mare Turf, is those are two races that have been oversubscribed for the last 5 years coming into the Breeders' Cup. Another one to keep an eye on is Circus Maximus, who has won the two Group 1s this year in the Prix de Milano-Longchamp and the St. James's Palace at Royal Ascot. And the turf sprint, we have two terrific stars. One, probably the top turf sprinter in the world, in Batash, who won the Coolmore Nunthorpe at York. And Fairyland, who just last weekend won the Darrenstown Stud Flying Five at the Curragh for Aidan O'Brien. So I just wanted to drop those in. But definitely, Mark, when you're coming up to the ARC, we have about four winner ins that day, including the Qatar Prix d'Arc de Triomphe, which is for the very first time will be a winning year in. So I definitely think there'll be new runners developing coming out of that. And also horses that finish not only win those races, but the runners-up also are oftentimes contenders to come over and compete in the turf races.
Yeah, you can see you guys have a really exciting, you know, couple weekends coming up here. And, you know, to me, that's what I love the turf races. I think it's one of the most exciting parts of our sport. And it's really, you know, exciting to watch it build, you know, especially coming up to Breeders' Cup.
Jimmy, let me ask you this question. Going back to Magical for just a minute, you mentioned that strong performance finishing behind Enable last year. Are we going to see Enable? Are we going to see that rematch back at Santa Anita?
We're going to play this out right to the end. I've not heard yet that there are plans to return. Let's get through the ARC and see what the announcements are made, or if there are any announcements made before the ARC, whether the ARC will be the swan song or will should continue to come back and defend her title at the Breeders' Cup. So that's a wait-and-see proposition, Mike.
All right. He is the best. He's Jim Gluckson from Breeders' Cup, his finger on the pulse of all the racing, not just here in the States, but overseas as well. Jimmy, as always, really appreciate the visit, and enjoy those two Grade Ones at Parks later today. Going to be a great day of racing all over the country.
Outstanding, Mike. Thanks. And just as a reminder, everyone, that tickets are still available for the Breeders' Cup at breederscup.com/tickets. And if you'd like to sign up for the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge, we open registration for that event this week. racing's biggest live money event, and you can go to BreedersCup.com/BCBC to sign up.
You know, and I have to plug this, too. I mean, Breeders' Cup is an amazing event, but
I think
there's no better place to enjoy it. And we are a sponsor of Breeders' Cup at Red Brand, but there's no place to me that's better than Santa Anita. I mean, it's just
the best
place to have it. And it's an enjoyable day.
We expect a great event this year. Thank you very much.
Yep. Jimmy, appreciate the visit, my friend. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, we're going to send Jim Gluckson a gift, courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Enjoy the day, Jimmy.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mike. Thank Mark. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, Jim Gluckson here on HRRN. Yeah, doing a phenomenal job. And Mark, you hit the nail on the head with the Breeders' Cup. I mean, Santa Anita, I know what they have gone through over the past year, and it has been a year from hell for Santa Anita and for the industry and for everybody that's been associated with all of the horse fatalities there. They are working diligently to get that rectified, and
I think California's come a long way. I mean, you look at Del Mar, and this kind of got, I'm surprised it didn't get more attention. Del Mar had the cleanest meet this year. I mean, so I really do
you're
think
not gonna
they've
hear
made
about
changes.
That. That's positive.
No, you're not going to hear
it's
about
positive.
That. But
and I said this before, this industry does a horrible job of promoting the positives, right?
We really do see
how about
the
getting
focus.
That out there?
Yeah, no, it's very true.
Send that to CNN.
While the other thing that's happening is, you know, while we were down at Del Mar, Santa Anita's been working diligently to get this track ready.
Correct.
I'm confident they will be. And anybody who's never been there for a race, you owe it to yourself to go.
Yeah.
Because I got to tell you, it's a relaxing experience. I mean, Breeders' Cup at Santa Anita is like a Thursday at Keeneland. It's just relaxing. It doesn't feel crowded.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the mountains in the background, the palm trees in the infield.
I could stare at those mountains all day.
Oh, especially with the
majestic
palm tree. Yeah, I mean, it is, and I enjoy a lot of racetracks. I love going to Gulfstream in the wintertime. I like Belmont. I like Keeneland, but Del Mar is my all-time favorite. But there is something about Santa Anita, and I don't know if it's just the history or the backdrop or what it is, but it is the great race place. I mean, and to me, it's really special when Breeders' Cup is there. You know, yep. It's a fun day. It never seems to disappoint. There seems to be those arrogant races where it's right down to the wire and
Bayern,
yep.
Right? California Chrome. I mean, Mucho Macho Man. There have been so many great moments. Zenyatta. I mean, you start going through and you start thinking about all those moments out there in the Breeders' Cup, and it's been tremendous. And as Jim said,
we got to go a little easy on Mucho Macho Man. It's game on Dude Week.
That's right. We're going to talk about that next when we come back. We're going to talk about that right after this commercial break. Stay with us. It's the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Breeders' Cup.
Tappet. His impact on the breed will last for generations. With more graded stakes winners, more grade one winners, and more million-dollar yearlings than any other active American stallion. For owners and breeders, his progeny have created memories that will last a lifetime. Find your Tappet at the upcoming yearling sales. America's most dominant sire. Tappet, standing at Gainesway.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
The Maryland thoroughbred industry. For over 200 years, the innovative leader. Maryland was the first to have organized racing in North America and the first to establish a state breeders association. Maryland created the first thoroughbred yearling show, the first state magazine, the first state breeder incentive development program, the first international race to feature horses from four continents, and the first $1 million one-day stallion stakes event. The Maryland thoroughbred industry is the innovative leader.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Down two. And he knows he's a good one. $2 million, $2. 158, down two. You do it?
2 million 2. Here we go. 2 million 2. Down the good, here, down the good, down the good, down the good, 2 can't tell. And 2 million 150 down, 2 2 2 down the good, down the good, down 2 1. Thank you. 2 million 150 down the good, down the good, down 2. But a good 2, but a good 2, but a good 2, but a good 2, but a half. And about 2 million 150. Thanks. Thank you. Going Stan's way. 2 million 150.
$2.15 million is where the hammer falls for that yearling by Medaglia d'Oro at this year's Keeneland September sale. And how about Medaglia d'Oro, the sire of 4 multi-million-dollar yearlings at Keeneland September this year alone, and with top progeny including the brilliant dual eclipse champion Songbird and remarkable horse of the year Rachel Alexandra, it's easy to see why Medaglia d'Oro is the horse with the Midas touch. Learn more about Medaglia d'Oro by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, I'm Leah Jarmati, and I love listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Then El Tormentor as they come for the home stretch in the Rico Woodbine Mile. Luke Cullen is in the clear down the outside. Emmaus up the rails. They're all across the track, and El Tormentor coming through. Got Stormy's in front. The second El Tormentor. Luke Cullen is there. Raging Bull starting to build a run late. In the lead is Got Stormy the filly, but El Tormentor up the inside, stride to stride. And then came Luke Cullen and Raging Bull. El Tormentor on the inside in front. And El Tormentor has won the Rico Woodbine Mile from Got Stormy, Luke Cullen, Raging Bull, and Synchrony. 132.60.
Robert Geller bringing them home in last weekend's Rico Woodbine Mile. El Tormenta for trainer Gal Cox under jockey Eurico da Silva getting the victory. Eurico breaking through in that race, believe it or not, for the very first time after announcing that he would officially retire from the saddle at the end of this year's racing season. And we're going to be joined by Eurico coming up in just a few minutes. 9 o'clock Eastern time is when he will look back on that win last weekend and remember some of the top moments from what has been a brilliant career for Eurico da Silva. Well, Mark kind of teased it as we were getting into the commercial break, that last commercial break, that next week, beginning on Tuesday here on the network, we will be celebrating Game On Dude Week all week long. This is a brand new concept that we have launched. We launched it last month at Saratoga with Commentator Week, but Game On Dude Week, all presented by Red Brand Fence, is part of a series of horse weeks we'll be bringing your way, where throughout the week on all of our shows, we will look back on some of the top moments in Game On Dude's career. You'll hear Bob Baffert talking about him and some of his top races. You'll hear from other connections, Hall of Fame jockey Mike Smith. You'll hear from Michael Blowen of Old Friends, which is now home to Game On Dude. And Mark Otto has a few stories, too. So we'll bring him back onto our program next week during Game On Dude Week. And Mark, I know that's a week that's near and dear to your heart.
Yeah, I love him. You know, he's probably my favorite horse of all time. Followed him from the time he broke his maiden. I actually wasn't in horse racing at that time. I was in marketing, obviously, and I was actually working in California. So, he kind of caught my attention. And when we got him at Old Friends, as you know, I'm on the board of directors there, it was like, you know, seeing Elvis come back from the dead. I mean, I still remember to this day the day that he got to the farm. In fact, even more to back up, I remember the day that Michael Blowen told me we were getting him. And it was almost surreal.
Yeah.
And to this day, he's like the family dog. He's the smartest horse, the most gentle horse. You know, he's almost too smart for his own good. He's like a person.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just a phenomenal. It's no wonder that he did as well as he did. And people don't even realize he still, to this day, holds a record at Santa Anita. And, of course, he'll always hold a record at Hollywood Park. He holds the record
for
the
big cap. Yeah, that won't be broken now.
That won't be broken. So he has the Gold Cup at Hollywood and 3 big caps at Santa Anita.
Yeah, he was simply remarkable. Earned more than $6 million on the racetrack. Chantel Sutherland, who was aboard for so many of his big performances early on in his career, had some great comments about one of the big wins that she was aboard. And you're going to hear those comments next week as part of Game On Dude Week. There are so many. Bob Baffert,
Mike Smith,
took the time to join me. He's going to talk about Game On Dude. Mike Smith, we'll get a chance to visit with all of them as we look back. And we'll have replays of some of his top races.
He's an amazing horse. One of the most interesting performances that I've ever seen, and I'd encourage anybody to go and watch it, was his last big cap. He ran wire to wire, and the most interesting thing to me was his ears were forward the entire time. He literally looked like he was out for a stroll.
All right, well, Game On Due Week kicks off next Tuesday. You can follow us on social media at HRRN on Twitter and Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook to see more about Game On Due Week here on HRRN. Busy second half of the show begins with jockey Eurico Da Silva. That comes up in just a minute. Stay with us. We're back with more right after we pause for station identification on HRRN.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Jovia fights on. Tassinus is there. And then Tex between horses. Master Fencer on the far outside. They're coming to the finish. And Sir Winston has won the Belmont Stakes.
There's an eighth of a mile to go. Bolo keeps on going. River Boyne on the inside. Catapult far outside. Bowie Zero. But Bolo has something left for the final 16th, and it's going to be Bolo coast to coast in the Shoemaker Mile.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Mucho Gusto trying so hard to go by. Maximum Security just in front. Mucho Gusto valiant, but Maximum Security has won the TVG.com Haskell Invitational.
Stride to stride, a long to run. One bad boy never looked better and has got the Queen's Plate well and truly won.
Now here's Mike Penna.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum presented by Red Brand Fence. Rolling on. If you missed any portion of the first half of the show, our interviews with Sal Sinatra from the Maryland Jockey Club or Jim Gluckson from Breeders' Cup, head over to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can check out a podcast of this show and all of our programs. They're there for you to listen to at your leisure, horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Mark Otto from Red Brand Fence, sitting in as my guest co-host this morning from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, and proud now to welcome our industry star of the week for this Saturday morning, this segment presented by Stuart Morris, who offers a boutique full-service bloodstock operation. He wants to thank his owners, his clients, and his entire team. His success is because of you, and with multiple stakes horses over the past 3 years, which include Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy, and of course, He Hate Me, who is going this afternoon in the DeFrancis Dash. Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. You can visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all of the major sales. And without further ado, our industry star of the week for this Saturday morning is jockey Eurico Da Silva, who has had just an amazing career. That career will officially come to an end at the end of this racing season. Going to be a tough moment for him when he hangs him up, but he has been so good and so brilliant for so many years and with us now on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Eurico, good to talk to you, my friend. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Saturday for you guys.
Happy Saturday to you, my friend. Happy to have you on board. You know, you think about those six Sovereign Awards that you have been honored with, including each of the past 4 years. When I was there this year at the Sovereign Awards, you stood up in front of everybody and you gave a heartfelt, emotional, and one of the greatest acceptance speeches I have ever seen in my life.
All I can say that, you know, I have a lot of gratitude in my heart just to be in Canada. And the race in Canada being so good for me. You know, and of course, I have a lot of gratitude for the horses. You know, looking back when I was kid and reflect, a lot of my friend is not even here in this world, you know. And the horse pretty much saved my life because I started working with horses and my life since I started working with horses.
You know, Eurico, you're still, in my opinion, still a kid. You're 4 years younger than me. You're 44 years old. You grew up in Sao Paulo, Brazil, and you realize that this is the time to step away from the game, at least at the end of this racing season. How come? What led to that decision at this point in your life?
My decision is that, you know, I'm 44, and I feel with racing 4 days a week, working the morning plus training, and my body's been feeling, you know. And who is paying is my family. I have a young family, and like on the summertime here, I never have opportunity to really go nowhere because, you know, you don't have much energy to go nowhere with the kids. And I have a William is a 7 years old, Emilia is 3 years old, and I have Isabel is only 9 months. You know, very young family, and I really want to invest on them now. You know, I was very lucky in the races. I'm okay financial, and now I really want to put my focus on my family.
Good man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it. There comes a time when that, you know, becomes more important than anything, and it should be that way always, but we get so caught up in the day-to-day grind of going through our professions that we don't often think of it like that. Eureka, what have you enjoyed most about being a jockey?
I enjoy the horses. I enjoy the people, you know. I enjoy being in the stable. You know, in the morning when you go to work and you see that energy, everybody's focused to give their best and take care of their best for the horses. A lot of grooms take care of the horses so well. Like before I get on the horses, you know, they cleaning the horses, make sure the horse looks good and with so much love. And you see the horses appreciate that care, you know, that good care. That's, I think, I enjoy the most.
You mentioned your three children. If someday one of those kids comes to you and says, "Dad, I want to follow in your footsteps. I want to be a jockey." What are you going to tell them?
My family was against me to be a jockey, and I did, and I'm not going to be against my kids. You know, if that way, that's what's going to make them happy, all I can do is support them.
Yeah, he's jockey Eurico Da Silva here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, retiring at the end of this racing season. Currently has more than 2,200 victories to his credit in those 6 Sovereign Awards. He is really as good as it gets when it comes to jockeys, not just in Canada, but all over the world, really. Eurico, when you think back on the horses that you've had the privilege to ride and some of the top races that you've won, when you think back, what are some of the first names and first moments that come to mind for you that you're never going to forget?
Horse in Brazil called Front Post was 3 years old. Was a very, very good horse. When I finished my bug, I almost done, because you know when you finish your bug, it's hard to get right. And I remember I was sitting in the bench, and this trainer come up and say, "Rico, you want to try this horse? This horse is really good, but he had some trouble." I said, "Oh, I have nothing to lose." And I went. It was a very temperamental horse, and I went try with him. It was not easy to work with him, but he was such a great horse. You know, he gave me my first great one. I used to love that horse so much. And, of course, here in Canada, you know, Pink Lloyd comes to my mind, too. You know, such a great horse. And it's another horse. It's not easy to deal with him sometimes in the gate. You guys see some race that he gives us some trouble. But end of the day, he's a great horse. And when he runs his race, man, he runs to win. You know, he gives that acceleration the turn and gives no chance to anybody.
You know, I mentioned earlier in the program that one of the big races that has always eluded you has been the Woodbine Mile. And last Saturday, you guided El Tormenta to victory in the race for Gal Cox. You came back, and the crowd at Woodbine was electric. They were celebrating your victory with you. Tell me about coming back to the winner's circle on El Tormenta.
What happened is when we race big races here in Canada, or we go to the Breeders' Cup, our people cheer for us. You know, they are with us, and they cheer for Canadian horses. And I think that, you know, a jock from Canada, a horse from Canada win the races, and that's what was the energy. Like, they was happy. And, all I want to do is cheers with them. You know, it's a moment of happiness for Canada. It's not only for my owners, trainer, or myself, or my horse. It's for everybody. You know, these winners, I was feeling like was our winners. You know, it's Canada win.
Eurico Da Silva here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. As you hear him say, it is a celebration. The Canadian fans really do support those local riders, and Eurico has been among the top for many, many years. Eurico, what's the one race or maybe the couple of races that you haven't won that you could say, all right, if over the next several months or over the next year, if I was going to keep riding, this would be the one that I would want to win?
I am complete. You know, I feel like here in Canada, I won the major races. I'm complete in Canada. One race that I would like to win would be the Breeders' Cup. You know, I rode a few times in the Breeders' Cup. I finished second before with Fatal Bullet. I have a horse called Biofuel, and we was having a great, great trip. Right on the eighth pool, I got hit very hard and took away my race. You know, she, I have no doubt that she would win the race that day. And but this is life, you know. I feel pretty happy, but winning a Breeders' Cup was something big for me.
Will you continue to live in Canada after you retire?
Yes, I'm going to continue living in Canada. I'm a certified life coach. What I'm going to do is I choose to work only with athletes. You know, I will still participate in the game because I want to help, like, some jocks that they need help and to keep themselves disciplined and with a balanced life. And that's what I love to do it.
Well, Eurico, you are all class, my friend. And racing is losing a tremendous jockey and losing a great person when you step away. But as you said, you'll be back involved in the game in some capacity, and we can't wait to see what the next chapter holds for Eurico Da Silva. As always, thank you so much for taking the time. I can remember meeting you for the first time a couple of years ago when we came up to broadcast the Queen's Plate, and you took the time to meet me in the parking lot on the backside and stand there for about 10 or 15 minutes with me. We did an interview together, and I'll never forget it. So thank you, my friend, and all the best with your riding career as you wrap it up, and all the best moving forward.
Mike, you are a gentleman, and very gentleman man, and thanks for having me, and you guys have a great show.
All right, enjoy it, Eurico. Safe travels.
Thank you.
Eurico Rosa Da Silva, safe travels every time he gets a leg up. We wish that to all the jockeys, and he is your Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. Like all of our guests, Eurico going to receive a gift, courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Look, you listen to him talk, and you can't help but be a huge fan of Eurico Da Silva.
Absolutely. And, you know, he touched on something really – I mean, the fact that he wants to be good for there for his kids and obviously being one piece for his kids is huge. I commend him on that. But he also touched on something that, you know, for the next chapter of his life, he's interested in getting into, like, a life coach and helping other jocks. And as you know, not to – touch a nerve with anybody, but that's something that's desperately needed in our sport, because, you know, many of these guys kind of lose their way, not sure where to, and I think it happens in all sports where you have young guys that go from virtually nothing to, you know, higher financial success, higher, you know, more in the spotlight. Yep. And some guys can't really balance that. And I think coming from somebody like him that has balanced it and he's managed it well, he could be a real asset to these guys, especially the younger guys.
Yeah, great family man, good with the media, well-spoken. Eurico Da Silva has worked his tail off
absolutely
to get to where he is. You touched on it You showed me a picture on your phone from the
Equibase.
Yeah,
he could actually hit another milestone this year if he, you know, depending on how it finished. You know, he's right at breaking $100 million in earnings.
Wow.
And that, you know, it's amazing. You know, he's a phenomenal rider, phenomenal athlete, and, you know, we wish him the very best going forward.
So what you're telling me is that dinner is on Eureka next time
be.
I see him at
Woodbine. Absolutely,
yeah. Yeah, well done. Our industry star of the week, Eureka Rosa da Silva. Still to come, when we return, you're going to hear from Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert as he talks about improbable in this afternoon's Pennsylvania Derby. Our Four Roses Bourbon segment, this monthly visit with Brent Elliott, who is the master distiller at Four Roses, and Eric Zimney, the vice president of racing and sports operations at Charlestown, is going to be with me to talk about their huge Race for the Ribbon program tonight. All of that still ahead. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Penna, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races on Saturday, September 21st for the 11th annual Race for the Ribbon. Another stellar card in store, eight stakes races worth over $700,000 and headlined by the Grade 3 $300,000 Charlestown Oaks. And proceeds from the evening will go towards the fight against breast cancer here in West Virginia. The action kicks off with a special first post time of 5 p.m. Eastern. It's the Race for the Ribbon and the Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Mastery retired undefeated, winning his four starts by a combined 20 lengths. A six-figure September sale purchase, he won impressively in his two-year-old debut at Santa Anita. From there, he captured the Grade 3 Bob Hope Stakes and completed his juvenile campaign with a dominant performance in the Grade 1 Los Alamitos Futurity. At three, the top-rated son of Candy Ride sizzled in the San Felipe. Now his much-anticipated first crop has arrived. Mastery, standing at Claiborne Farm.
The National HPPA is a coalition of over 30 individual affiliates in the United States and Canada, comprised of thousands of thoroughbred owners, trainers, and breeders, committed to the positive future of thoroughbred racing while working to increase its popularity and uphold the highest standards of welfare and integrity. Stop by to visit CEO Eric Hamelback at the National HPPA headquarters in Lexington, Kentucky, and see what the HPPA is doing for you.
Hello, I'm Junior Alvarado, and I listen to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Coming to the inkhole, Byron has opened up three. California Chrome on the inside is giving his best, but he's dropping back. On the outside, Tappan Zulu taking second. It's Byron pulling away. They're coming down to the finish, and it will be Byron impressive on the front end today. West Coast trying to make a big statement here today. Coming to bed stretch, he's opened up by four. It's I-Rap second. It's all West Coast as they come down to the finish. If this is statement for the three-year-old championship, wow, West Coast has it by six on the wire. Furlong to go. McKenzie is in front. Axelrod set down by Joe Bravo. Mike Smith working on McKenzie. McKenzie holding on. Axelrod is still out. McKenzie is clear as they come down to the finish. Baffert, Smith, McKenzie, they've done it. McKenzie has it by two.
Well, a trifecta of Pennsylvania Derby winners for Hall of Famer Bob Baffert. He sends out Improbable, the morning line favorite in this afternoon's Pennsylvania Derby. You'll hear from him momentarily. Want to remind you, though, that you can have the latest racing, breeding, sales, and industry news, plus analysis, entries, results, race replay videos, and more, all at your fingertips with the Blood Horse Daily app for your phone, updated throughout the day or delivered daily in an email. You can also listen to the news on your Alexa device. All of those are free. Go to bloodhorse.com/daily to download the app or sign up for the daily email. Well, Bob Baffert is currently tied with fellow Hall of Famers Nick Zito and Woody Stevens with three victories, those three you just heard in the Pennsylvania Derby. If Improbable can win today, he'll stand alone atop that list, and that's an illustrious list of winners in the Pennsylvania Derby. Maximum Security was the big story going into this year's race. Earlier this week, it was announced that he would scratch because of the colon obstruction. He is out. He'll be fine. He'll live to fight another day. But because of that, Improbable is now the 8-5 morning line favorite. And when I caught up with Bob earlier this week, he started by talking about the disappointing scratch of Maximum Security in the Pennsylvania Derby.
You know what? I was really sad to hear about that because, I'm close with Gary and Mary West. And for that to happen, it's just what they've been through this year. It's just tough. You know, this racing, you know, horse racing, it'll get you down because the highs are so high, the lows are so low. And when you go through that and, you know, that Maximum Security, I mean, he was, I don't know if we could have beaten him. I was just hoping that, you know, I would have gladly, you know, run second. But, you know, you want a horse like this to be in there because you want to beat the best, you know. And so it sort of took a lot. It took all a lot out of the race, but that Mr. Money. I mean, that horse, I think he should be the favorite. I mean, he's the horse to beat. I think Calhoun has really managed him really well, just, you know, picking the spots with him. Now he's ready for the big dance, and a horse like that is tough. I think Improbable, his race in Del Mar was really impressive. But he was only going a mile. He's fast. We changed his tactics, put him on the lead, let him roll, and put blinkers on him. But he has to behave himself. He has to behave himself in the gate. He has to behave himself in the paddock. And, you know, he can be a little bit high strung, but he's doing really well. And so, it's unfortunate that other horse isn't there. And Will Away, you know, War Will, he's, you know, the way he ran in the Preakness, you know, he can bring that race back. It was a really turning out to be a top race, you know, and so it's very unfortunate that Maximum Security, just little things. I mean, there's so many things that go wrong in horse racing, you know, and you just, you know, like I see it every year, you know, so it's just, but you just have to, you know, you just got to weather the storm and just, you know, just keep moving forward.
You know, people forget that Improbable was the favorite in this year's Kentucky Derby and ran a really, really good race. He ended up being placed fourth after that disqualification, had some traffic trouble too. One thing you told me when we talked before the race, I remember sitting down with you at the barn, was that Improbable would still have to answer the distance question like so many of the other horses had to, but in particular, Improbable had to do it. He ran a great race, Bob. Did he answer all the distance questions for you?
Yeah, he did, and, you know, I thought he ran well, but I was really disappointed in his race at Pimlico. I was really disappointed because I thought like Mike Smith said, all he did was gallop around there, and he only got beat a couple lanes, you know, so he never really set his body down. So Elliot Weldon, you know, he said, let's take him to the farm, we'll freshen him up, we'll give him a few weeks out of just being a horse, and I think it really helped him and brought him back, and now I really didn't have plans going to Parsons. So he ran that race at the, he was going to, I threw him in there at the last minute because Omaha Beach was supposed to run in that race. And then when he changed his mind, I just, I'll just throw him in there. And, and see what he does. And he, you know, he beat a really good horse too. He beat a really good horse that day.
Yeah. Well, Bob, good luck on Saturday, or good luck later this afternoon, and look forward to seeing you back in the winner's circle again, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, Hall of Famer Bob Baffert again in search of a fourth victory in the Pennsylvania Derby. Mark, a couple of things there as you listen to Bob. He started talking about the disappointment and that defection of Maximum Security. Bob is the last person in the world that wants to see that happen to any horse. He wants to, as you heard him say, he wants to run against the best.
Absolutely.
And Bob's, I love that take,
competitor of competitors, and he doesn't. And I mean, as you all know, Bob's on the Red Brand team, and you know, we couldn't be more proud to be with him, but he's actually kind of like the head of the team. We make jokes that we're going to get bracelets made that say, what would Bob do? But they, you know, it's true. I mean, I think Bob, and I think a lot of people are like this at the top of the sport. You don't want to, you want to win the race. You don't want the horse to be, not to be in the race. You know, it kind of, you know, it's, you want it, you want to be up against that horse, and you want to win fairly, I guess, not the right word. And I think the key for Improbable is just going to be, and Bob touched on it, that, you know, he behaves himself and that he gets a good trip.
Yeah.
And I think if he does, he's going to be tough. And, you know, to Bob's point, I think the horse to be is Mr. Money. I don't think it's going to be a fall down by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, Improbable, you know, he's an amazing horse, but he hasn't been the most consistent. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, who shows up on, you know, later today.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of intrigued to hear Bob say that he felt like Mr. Money was the horse to beat and he should be the favorite. Now, look, I mean, Bob knows how to play this game too, right?
Yeah.
And it's like a lot of press conferences you watch where a football coach will come on and they'll talk about the team they're going to be playing that next week. And, you know, they could be 40-point favorites, and they're talking about how good that other team is, even though they know they're going to go out and crush them, right? Bob Baffert talking about Mr. Money. Here's a horse that comes in on a 4-race win streak. All have been dominant victories by open lengths, but they've all been with grade 3 company.
Absolutely.
Now he has to prove that he can go up to a grade 1 level. Improbable has proven that he can at least be competitive at that level. So I think Bob maybe playing it like a football coach in some respects,
well,
right?
And I'm sure he is. And one thing you notice about Bob, he's very gracious. You know, he's very kind. He doesn't, you know, I don't ever hear him talk negatively about anybody else's horse. He'll be the first guy to, you know, compliment somebody. I've seen him do it when the cameras and the microphones aren't there. Tell somebody, you know, you have a really nice horse. You know, he's just a really gracious competitor. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that makes him the class act that he is. But, you know, I'm sure, but I do think the other thing about Bob, and I think this is something I've noticed with people that are really good at their game. I mean, you touched on NASCAR earlier. You know, I worked with Ray Everham and, you know, like the Gordon Earnhardt era. The really good guys never take the other competitors for granted.
Right, sure.
I know, you know, Dale, anytime he would go up against Jeff, you know, it could have easily been, there's no way that kid's going to get near me, but that wasn't the way Dale looked at it. You know, he knew that he was a real competitor, and I think that's kind of the way Bob is. You know, Bob doesn't take these other horses for granted. You know, maybe on paper Improbable stands above, but I think Bob's smart enough to know that, you know, it isn't going to be a gimme.
Yeah. Yeah, it was shipping all the way across country. You heard him say that Improbable can be a bad actor, so he's got to behave, as Bob said.
Yeah,
in
and
the
he
starting
said it several
gate,
times.
In the paddock, in the post-parade. So something to keep an eye on with the morning line favorite Improbable as you're getting ready to bet that Pennsylvania Derby later today. The other horse that needs a mention here is War of Will, the Preakness hero.
Yeah, you can't write him off.
No, and he hasn't been in the best of form his last two starts. If you look at the Belmont Stakes where he finished ninth and then somewhat of a disappointing fifth in the Jim Dandy. And that was a weird race. He got to the front, opened up by a couple of lengths, which is not where War of Will wants to be. Granted, the pace wasn't blazing, but you still expect War of Will to be sitting off the pace. And then if they go back to what he was doing before, when he won the Preakness, that stalking position, and then make that
Absolutely.
One run, I think this is a horse that is obviously dangerous in this spot.
Yeah, no question. He's the one that could surprise you. And there's, you know, these are the type of races that set up for a surprise. I think it will be interesting. You can't underestimate the Baffert-Smith combination, though. there aren't too many, you know, when those guys go to the gate, they have a really, really high win percentage. And that's something that I always look at is, you know, when they pair up, it's a pretty tough competition.
All right, our Four Roses Bourbon visit with Master Distiller Brent Elliott is coming up momentarily. Just received a text, though, from our good friend Michael Hernan at Gainesway alerting me to the fact that their exciting stallion, Cara Conti, has a two-year-old son in today's Laurel Futurity. That's a $200,000 race at Laurel. Race number five, post time of 2:30 Eastern. It's number one, Torrey Del Payne. Let's see if I get that right. Torrey Del Payne, the name of the horse, and racing a mile and a 16th on the turf course. And remember how good Cara Conti was on the grass. If this horse can follow in his dad's footsteps, he should be very, very dangerous from the rail under Weston Hamilton for trainer Graham Motion later today. So Cara Conti getting young, precocious runners for Gainesway. All right, well, Brent Elliott, the master distiller at Four Roses, did take the time to visit with me earlier this week, and he talked about some of the top bourbons and some of the things that go into making them. Four Roses is situated in the heart of horse country, Lawrenceburg, Kentucky, and who better to talk about Four Roses bourbon than the man who makes it all taste so good, that is master distiller Brent Elliott, who is with me now on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Brent, appreciate the visit. I know it's a very busy day for the folks at Four Roses.
Oh, yeah, thanks, Mike. Yeah, we're right here in the middle of Bourbon Festival. So, you know, Saturday, this is a big day for us because our limited release, our 2019 limited edition small batch, is being released as we speak out of our gift shop.
All right, so compare that limited edition small batch to everything else, all the other products that I always talk about with Four Roses.
Well, with these limited editions, the one thing that's consistent is they're always smooth, mellow, and personally, of course, I think very good. But they're always different, and that's part of what we try to do is, with our 10 recipes, try to give the consumer something different every year with these new releases. And you can see the same thing with like our small batch or small batch select or single barrel. Those are all different because we use different recipes to produce them, and that's the same with these limited editions.
How much time, Brent, do you spend in the lab trying out different formulas and different recipes to see what you think is going to taste good?
You know, it's probably the most fun that I do, that I get to do every year, and it's doing the blending for the limited edition small batch. And I probably spend anywhere from 6 weeks, 6 to 9 weeks, just working on that formulation.
Wow.
Now, I probably wouldn't have to take that long, but, you know, I like the particular, and I really try to give myself enough time to feel comfortable with, you know, spending as much time as I can with the individual batches and test blends.
Are you the person that has to do the tastings too to make sure they're where you want them?
Yeah, that's a tough job. That's me.
How do I sign up for that work?
Yes, and I do a lot of other smelling tasting throughout the year for all of our products, and that's a big part of my job is making sure that the right barrels go into each one of our products. But in those cases, it's mostly for consistency and evaluating quality and making sure the right barrels get to where they need to be. But with the limited editions, that's where it really allows me to be creative and try to create something different. And that was also what it was like with the our recent small batch select.
Yeah.
Because that was just a blank slate. It was going to be a new product. We knew we wanted to do a higher proof, so we were 104. We wanted to make it non-chill filtered to appeal to, you know, the modern bourbon consumer. So that was the foundation, but, you know, going even a layer deeper than that, we wanted to create something that was totally unique based on based on the different recipes that we could use. So that was the same process. It was pulling together all the potential recipes, and they're all going to be 6 and 7 years old, so it was pulling those together and just trying to blend something or mingle something that was different from the other products and just really good. And that's kind of how we arrived at the flavor profile and the formula for the small batch select.
How long did that process take, Brent?
That was pretty long.
Yeah.
Because the whole development process, you know, we're looking at the packaging, you know, how we're going to market it, where we're going to, you know, if it was going to be non-chill filtered, chill filtered, what proof was going to be. So while that whole conversation was going on, I was kind of working in the background with the different recipes. So it was a very relaxed, it's hard to say, maybe year of, you know, tinkering back and forth.
Sure.
But actually when I dug in, maybe 3 or 4 months.
So
at the end, you know, trying to really finalize it.
For our listeners who are tuned in and are thinking about trying the small batch select, 21 and older, please, thinking about trying the small batch select, how do you describe it to them?
It is, because of the different yeast strains we use, there's an F, which creates a nice minty, herbal-type flavor, and the V, which is delicate, fruity. Those two come together, and I think they create a really nice mouthfeel. Like, as soon as that hits your palate, it coats your palate with that nice herbal, slightly phenolic, slightly fruity flavor. It's just like a burst of these great flavors. And then it just lingers. Just the finish is really long, very mellow, tapers out over a long period of time. And it's complex. It's layered. You've got spice in there. You've got that herbal kind of clove-like note, the fruit, and then, of course, all the nice barrel tones. Because this is a combination of 6- and 7-year-old barrels. So, of course, you get some oak, you get the vanilla, the caramel, I mean, all the typical barrel notes that you start to get once you get out, you know, a little bit older.
Well, it's easy to see why Brent Elliott is among the premier master distillers in the country, and he is at Four Roses, and he's kind enough to spend a little bit of time with us here this morning on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Brent, as always, appreciate the visit. I know you took time away from all the autograph signings and the limited edition festival, so go enjoy it and really appreciate the visit this morning.
Okay, thanks a lot, Mike. Good talking to you.
All right, Master Distiller Brent Elliott, always fun to catch up with him, and yeah, I encourage you to head over there to Four Roses Bourbon, or if you're not local and you're not going to be here for Keeneland or for the horse sales, then make sure you check it out at your local liquor store there. You won't be disappointed. When we come back, I'm going to talk with Eric Zimney, who is the Vice President of Racing and Sports Operations at Charlestown. They have their Race for the Ribbon program coming up tonight, and it includes the Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks, which, by the way, you'll be able to hear with us right here on the network coming up beginning at 9:30 Eastern Time, 9:30 to 10:30. Anthony Stabile and Steve Grabowski will bring you that coverage of the Charlestown Oaks. You'll hear all of it right here on Sirius XM Channel 156 and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Back to visit with Eric right after this on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Breeders' Cup.
Castleton Lions is proud to introduce precocious multiple graded stakes winner Protonico for the 2019 breeding season. A Son of Giants Causeway out of an AP Indy mare, Protonico rolled to a 12 3/4 length victory in his debut as a 2-year-old before taking the Grade 3 Smarty Jones and Grade 3 Discovery Handicap at 3, followed by an ultra game win in the Grade 2 Ali Sheba at Churchill Downs in his 4-year-old season. Protonico joins the Castleton Lions stallion roster that includes multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and Blue Blood sprinter Justin Phillip. Gio Ponti is the sire of Eclipse champion Dre Fong, Canadian Classic winner Sir Dudley Diggs, and stakes winners Miss Technicality and America's Tale. While Justin Phillip is represented by exciting stakes-winning filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. Protonico, Gio Ponti, and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions.
Racing fans, world-class racing returns to Santa Anita with opening day of our 23-day autumn meet next Friday, September 27th. For the first time ever on opening day, we've got a pair of Grade 1 stakes, the $300,000 Chandelier and the $300,000 American Pharoah. Both of these highly anticipated Breeders' Cup qualifiers will be run in conjunction with our traditional opening day feature on Friday, the Grade 2 $200,000 Eddie D Stakes. First post time opening weekend is at 12:30, Santa Anita. Great racing and great value. Value in a world-class setting.
Attending this year's Kentucky Derby, experience the true difference at the official Derby Hotel of HRRN. Say hello to a brand new hotel experience from Hilton that's vibrant, affordable, and young at heart. It's energetic, yet relaxing and comfortable. It's completely unprecedented. It's completely true. Enjoy modern amenities and quality comfort with guest rooms featuring a 55-inch flat-screen TV and 150 channels of DirecTV, along with a free breakfast, a state-of-the-art fitness center, and more. Discover affordability without compromise at Loyal's True by Hilton.
Laurel Park presents the September to Remember with back-to-back weekends of nonstop racing and entertainment. Watch 14 stakes worth $1.9 million over 2 days. Taste red wines on the rail and watch and wager on 8 stakes, including the Express Bet, the Francis Memorial Dash, and the Baltimore-Washington International on Saturday, September 21st. Sip ciders and seltzers on the rail with 6 heart-pounding stakes races on September 28th. Special post time, 12:25 p.m. Visit laurelpark.com/September for details.
Adina Spring Stallion Ghost Sapper, the consistently brilliant sire of 11% black type winners, including Breeders' Cup champion and Eclipse champion female sprinter Judy the Beauty.
Judy the Beauty! Judy the Beauty! One and a head and I thrill it!
Santa Anita Handicap winner, Shaman Ghost.
It's Shaman Ghost, an overwhelming force in the last 16th of a mile.
And Whitney Handicap hero, Moreno.
100 yards from home, and it's Moreno! Moreno to win the Whitney in a wire-to-wire score!
Ghost Sapper's 2019 stars include millionaire champion Holy Helena and unbeaten Guarana, the number one three-year-old filly in North America.
Another impressive outing here. Guarana 2 for 2, and she's an Acorn winner.
Guarana has won the coaching club American Oaks over Point of Honor.
Consistently brilliant Ghost Sapper, standing at Adina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
I'm Manny Franco, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Here are the favorites, Lovesick and Just Ain't Right, third and fourth while covering ground. Back to the inside in Kalina's Song, and they're at the top of the stretch. Lovesick has made the lead. She's very wide, but she's in front through a 44 1/4 mile. Back to second, Paula Andrea, Just Ain't Right between horses in Kalina's Song. Eighth of a mile to go. Lovesick trying to put the finishing touches on a pretty amazing effort. She leads by 3. Kalina's Song is up into second, but let there be no doubt who's best. Lovesick, a clear and convincing winner. Kalina's Song second, Just Ain't Right third, Paula Andrea fourth, and then Corey Gow.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on HRRN. Mike Penna, Mark Otto in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios on this Saturday morning. That was Pete Aiello with the call of the Liza Jane Stakes at Gulfstream on May 31st. Lovesick for trainer David Fox getting the victory that day. She'll be back in action later tonight in the Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks. And David Fox is somebody who is no stranger to winning races at Charlestown. You remember he sent out Duke of Mischief to win the Charlestown Classic back in 2011, so hoping for some more magic later tonight. And to help us kind of figure out what else is going on the Race for the Ribbon program is our good friend Eric Zimney, the Vice President of Racing and Sports Operations at Charlestown. Eric, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Things are great. How are things in West Virginia?
They're good. Weather looks like it's going to be good for the day. Like you say, we got some big events going on around the property all day, and that should carry over into live racing tonight. So looking forward to another successful event.
You mentioned that you wanted this particular time slot, 9:40, because you wanted to be the Mariano Rivera of this year's show and close it out.
I just hope Dave Roberts doesn't steal second base during the show or something like that. I assume I'd be an easy act to follow, so I didn't want to make it too easy on the guests, the other ones, you know.
I don't know about that. Look, when you put together a program that you have for this evening, you know, not just the Charlestown Oaks, but the entire card has a plethora of stakes races, and then you have the Race for the Ribbon element where you raise money for cancer research in West Virginia, and that's something that has been very successful over the years. This is what, the 11th renewal of the Race for the Ribbon program?
Yeah, it's the 11th year, and this year we're going to come close probably to hitting the cumulatively at least the $200,000 mark in terms of money raised. It's totally organically here during the day for breast cancer care, you know, treatment and research within West Virginia itself. The money stays local. So we've got a 5K this morning. We've got a walk around the track at noon. We've got a silent auction that we have some awesome racing items during the racing. And we also have some other, you know, smaller fundraisers around the property. So it's been huge. It's been one of the more rewarding things that we do every year, and really happy to partner with the West Virginia Breast Health Initiative to do it once again.
For people that have never had the privilege to be at Charlestown for any of the racing dates, they're really missing out because you have the casino there, which is, well, it's like walking into a Las Vegas casino. It is beautiful. You have all the full table games. Now you have sports betting there as well. For people that have never been there, Eric, kind of fill us in on what they can expect when they do visit.
So we're people don't realize, too, we're in D.C. and Baltimore. I mean, we're only an hour away from two major cities. You know, people think, oh, you're in West Virginia. I've got to drive hours to get there. Not really true. We're pretty conveniently located. But when you get here, too, you know, there's not many places in the country that can offer slot machines, table games, horse racing, sports betting, and the dining amenities that we have here. It's a pretty immersive experience for anyone who's been here. The property, like you said, looks really good these days, and there's something for everybody. You know, I'm sure we'll have a good crowd tonight for the races. People who aren't necessarily playing tables and whatnot. People who are just going to come and see. Want to see really good horses, some really big name riders, and you know, really a fun night.
I think this is really key too, because this is something that really helps the sport. You know, it's one of the things we've talked about before that Gulfstream Park does really well. You know, you have a lot of different things to hold people's attention, if you will, from dining to, you know, table games to slots to horse racing. And I really would like to see more and more of this in the sport, because I really think it's a key to attracting new people.
How has the sports betting been received, Eric?
It's been received incredibly well. I mean, our first year of operation, we wrote about $100 million in tickets on sports bets, which really exceeded what we thought would happen. It's just grown since we started it September 1st of last year. And, I mean, there's on an NFL Sunday or Saturday, even for college football, it's nothing to see a line that's, you know, an hour long. It's incredibly popular.
You know, when I was there for the Charlestown Classic, I made my annual bet on the Pittsburgh Steelers to win the Super Bowl. I think I got them at 30-1. What are those odds now?
Not high enough. I think they're about 80-1. But you know, here's my suggestion for you with that ticket. When it gets cold in Lexington one night, and maybe you know you'd want to save some money on the heat, just light that ticket on fire, because it'll do more good for you than holding on to it.
I may just do it this weekend. It's supposed to get into the 60s, so that might be cause to burn the ticket.
Yeah, look, that like I said, man, there's more utility in doing that than holding on to it. You got no shot.
Got no shot.
All right, let's talk about the eight stakes races on the program tonight. We'll focus on the big one for sure, but how about in terms of the undercard races, Eric? What are some of the things that folks can look forward to?
So we've got Runnin' to Love You, who won the Charlestown Classic, of course, here in April. Yep, certainly I would consider the top West Virginia bred in training right now. He's going to be going in a restricted stake earlier on the card. We've got a couple of unrestricted stakes, too, that are going to follow the Pink Ribbon, which is named Oswell for Misty Bennett, who passed away a couple years ago, and she was instrumental in really getting this event off the ground. We have the Dickie Moore Stakes, 100,000. It's a new race this year for two-year-old fillies named after our longtime general manager of racing who retired at the end of last year, one of the best guys that you'll ever meet, even though there's a little issue tomorrow because he's a big Notre Dame fan and Notre Dame's playing Georgia. So if we're losing by like 20 points at halftime, there may be no Dickie Moore Stakes on 9:40 Eastern time.
And still
but,
better than Mike's ticket.
We have a race.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have the race named after him. And then, of course, we have the Oaks, which is a full field of 10. Really, really attractive betting race.
Yeah, the Oaks is great. You have Fashion Faux Pas, who is the lukewarm 7-2 favorite on the morning line among a 10-horse field. You can go a lot of different ways from a wagering perspective in here. And I thought, Eric, it was interesting that only one filly in the race has any experience racing at Charlestown, and that's the local horse, Parisian Diva, who is 7-10 there.
Yeah, she's good. She had a big effort down at Laurel in June, too, when she stepped away from West Virginia Breds and almost beat Please Flatter Me, who I guess was second behind Covfefe in the Miss Preakness. So she's taken her show on the road against Open Company and done well, too. don't forget, I mean, the last two graded stakes here, not just Running to Love You in April, but Late Night Powwow won the Charlestown Oaks last year, and she's a West Virginia bred and sired horse, too. So, local knowledge certainly gives these horses an edge on these days, and I don't think there's any question that that horse has a chance tonight.
Yeah, the we talk about it every year when we come up there for Charlestown Classic, is that the configuration of the track is so unique, being a bull ring, that having that local experience certainly helps. And I think we're starting to see that now with some of these West Virginia breds jumping up and running big races against some of the top open company that come into town.
Yeah, it's totally true. I mean, like, all we wanted to do, or part of what we wanted to do, certainly in addition to having, you know, those top-level horses come here and integrate ourselves more so in a national consciousness, we wanted to give a stage for local horses, too, to you know, give a shot at something like this. And it's great when they take a chance and try and do it. And, you know, it worked out for Late Night Powwow. It worked out for Running to Love You. I mean, you know, to give these guys a chance to win a race like this on their home turf, it's pretty attractive. And I applaud the connections for going in here. You not only see it with the horses, I mean, I think you see it with riders, too. You know, some riders come here and do very well. I mean, Javier Castellano, he's won his share of money here for sure. I mean, Jose Ortiz is in this race. He's won the race before for Linda Rice. You know, you do see it, but, you know, these guys are all professionals, too, and I wouldn't discount someone just because they don't have experience on here. And some of these trainers, they're not going to send a horse to a race like this unless they really think that their, you know, their horse is going to take to the configuration.
That's the other element to the racing now at Charlestown. Whether it's the Charlestown Classic or the Charlestown Oaks, you look at those human connections. You mentioned the jockeys. You see the trainers, Todd Pletcher, David Fox, Linda Rice, Arnaud Delacour. These are trainers that have top horses all over the country, and they opt to run their horses with you at Charlestown. How come?
You know, I'd like to think that people who have run with us before have, you know, had a good experience here. You know, I'm sure there could be a mental hurdle sometimes to running around a 6-furlong track, and people have a perception of Charlestown's been forged over the years that may not be good, but like you said, if you look, I mean, I looked at the overnight, and just because he didn't have anything in the Oaks, and Michael Matz has two horses in on Saturday night here, and you know, he's certainly a big time name too, who is running, you know, in a race other than the headline one. So when they come, they do tend to come back, you know, once they kind of, you know, get a sense of the lay of the land. So $300,000 also doesn't hurt in the Oaks, but you know, it's good to see him coming for the 75 and 100,000s too.
You guys should have a great weekend. Looks like an amazing card. You know, I can't think of Charlestown without thinking of the Classic with Dude.
Game on, so, Dude.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was bringing that up next. I'm glad you did that, because next week, Eric, you may have seen the press release we sent out this morning. Next week on HRN is Game on Dude Week, all week long. From Tuesday to Saturday, we'll be celebrating Game on Dude on all of our shows. And I know that you and Mark are on the same team here. Both of you, massive fans of Game on Dude.
Oh, massive fan. I mean, how could you not be? You know, a horse like that, who was, you know, so tough. You know, he danced pretty much all the dances. Came here 3 times, was second twice, won the 1 year, too. That's still one of my greatest memories of the job here. Was the year where Game on Dude, Ron the Greek, and Clubhouse Ride, and they were separated by about, you know, 5 feet on the wire. That still is kind of the race that sticks out the most to me. But yeah, man, Game on Dude is definitely one of my all time favorites.
Yeah, he was an amazing horse, and you know, it's like his name is synonymous with Charlestown. You know, for all the races he did, there's
synonymous
something
with a lot of
stands
tracks
out there. It is true. I mean, his home was Santa Anita, but you know, there is something about the Charlestown with him that just really stands out. I mean, I actually have the Game on Dude Charlestown glasses in my bookcase in my office.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I still remember Joe Torre standing out there signing autographs and letting the kids wear his World Series ring.
Yeah, how cool is that night? I mean, they were so, him, Bernie Schiappa, Jimmy Barnes was here with Dana, and Mike Smith, of course, rode the horse. That was such a great night. Those guys were so gracious, you're right. Joe Torre, he stayed around forever, it seemed like, that night, signing and taking pictures with whoever wanted to. I'm sure winning $1.5 million horse race doesn't hurt your mood too much and make you more inclined to want to do that versus running second or something, but those guys were awesome. And that was kind of one of the horses, along with Commentator, that I feel like put that race on the map.
Eric Zimney, the Vice President of Racing and Sports Operations at Charlestown here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests, we're going to send them a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Eric, do me a favor. You know me. I'm not one to back off. 80-1 on the Steelers to win the Super Bowl. Go make a bet for me. I'll double down, and in Mason we trust.
You better want to run that by Michelle before you do that.
All right, pal. Appreciate the visit, and enjoy the night there. It's going to be a special night.
It will be. Thanks again, guys, for all your support, too.
All right, Eric Zimney here on HRRN. We're back to tell you what's ahead tonight on the network. Stay with us. It's the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide. In the recent Blood Horse Market Watch study of leading consigners with more than 100 yearlings offered from 2014 to 2016, Millridge Sales ranked highest among percentage of stakes horses and winners of $100,000 or more. Since 2000, Millridge has raised or sold 34 Grade 1 winners, including 8 Breeders' Cup winners. Their consignment at this year's Keeneland September sale includes yearlings from deep families by leading stallions such as Candy Ride, Curlin, Empire Maker, Ghost Sapper, More Than Ready, Quality Road, and Uncle Mo. Millridge, raising and selling racehorses.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front is poised to skyrocket to national sire prominence with his first crop of two-year-olds in 2019. A multiple stakes winner at two, this talented son of Warfront went on to win or place in 12 graded stakes with lifetime earnings of more than $1 million. With an explosive turn of foot, Summer Front routinely recorded times of a mile and 33 in some of the best Grade 1 mile races in the country and possesses everything it takes to be an important sire for years to come. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Tabit. His impact on the breed will last for generations. With more graded stakes winners, more Grade 1 winners, and more million-dollar yearlings than any other active American stallion. For owners and breeders, his progeny have created memories that will last a lifetime. Find your Tapit at the upcoming yearling sales. America's most dominant sire. Tapit, standing at Gainesway.
This is Florent Giroux, and you are listening to HRRN.
My thanks to all of our special guests joining us here this morning. Sal Sinatra from the Maryland Jockey Club, Jim Gluckson from Breeders' Cup, Eurico Da Silva, the six-time Sovereign Award-winning jockey who will retire at the end of the year. He was with us at 9 o'clock. Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert and Eric Zimney from Charlestown, all making for a very busy show, comprehensive show. We covered an awful lot of ground, taking you through racing across the country. And Mark Otto, it has been just an absolute delight to have you sit in with me here this morning, and I can't
always
thank you enough publicly for what you do with us here on the sponsorship side of things with Red Brand. It's a pleasure to have you as part of our HRN family. And I know you, not just us, you do a lot to support horse racing in general.
Well, I appreciate it. We're honored to be part of it. And, you know, we really take pride in the fact that we're part of the industry, not just on the big days, but every day.
You just hit me up with a number as we were in the commercial break about one of your customers, Coolmore. And I don't think they'd mind us saying this, but how many miles of fence do they have out there?
There is, from what I understand, there's close to 30 miles of fence, Red Brand fence. And you can't, you know, we can't even just single them out. Hillendale, Judmont, you know, Claiborne, Gainesway. Gainesway is phenomenal. I mean, that's like, you know, and it's such an honor for us to be part of these farms. I mean, it's really, you know, it's something that to me it kind of takes pause to really recognize it, because when you think about the horses that stand behind our fence, it's pretty amazing. From Tappet to American Pharoah to Justify, you know, it's the Hillendale roster, which is, hard to pick one.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, good point. Don't forget, you can join us tonight, 9:30 Eastern. Anthony Stabile and Steve Grabowski will bring you exclusive radio coverage of the Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks, 9:30 to 10:30 on Sirius XM 156, and streaming worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. If you missed any portion of this show, just go back there and check out the podcast at your leisure, and follow us on social media at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Mark, been a lot of fun.
Yeah, really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
All right. For my special guest co-host, Mark Otto, for our producer, Lee Delapina, and for Chauncey for handling all of our social media for us this morning, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you next week on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Go Steelers.
Go Game on, dude.